So we continue with our Parashini of Yonah. Here I apologize because I'm a little bit confused, since we had a sort of Yonah shir as part of the Ofel Shuva, which I've appended to this MP3 recording, but I'm a little bit confused about what I said in the morning and what I said in the evening. So because of that, I'm just going to review very briefly some of the inyonim, because I want to make certain that we continue covering it in the context of a nachshir as opposed to in a more conceptual shir. So basically what we had learned so far was one approach, which was the approach of Rashi that spoke about the exchange of Yonah from the originally from the dog and then to the dagah in order to be Goren, that he should be Mispalo, and that apparently the nature of his tefillah is not specifically what has changed. He doesn't address in his tefillah. Adarabba, the tefillah was because, as it says there, that HaKadosh Baruch says in the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mis'ava l'tefillah shel tzaddik, and wanted him to respond with tefillah, and therefore he says, karati mitzaro li'el Hashem v'yani, that this is a mibetan sho'ol shivati, but it does not reflect on the surface the changes that take place in Yonah. It was clear to us that this tefillah has got to be an earth-shattering change in his perception, not necessarily in the words of the tefillah, but in the remorse of what it was that the tefillah is referring to. Because there's no other explanation of how it is, unless we want to take the easy way out and say that Yonah was simply nichna. And if he was, look, I don't want to die, so I see I'm going to die. But that doesn't make sense, because as the Mechilta says, he went out b'chatchila to be meiser nefesh. He was perfectly calm at being thrown into the yam. He didn't see that there was any reason for him to expect to survive. He was never mispalad, didn't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to survive. Even the passengers never occurred to them that he's a Navi Hashem, that they should try to persuade him to ask. And he understood that this is war, basically, and that exactly the same as we see in Eliyahu HaNavi, and we find in Moshe Rabbeinu, Hargeni Naharoga, not interested in being the one that's going to do this kind of shlichus. And there's a venerable tradition that the Nevi'im are Moser Nefesh for Yisrael, as the Medrash brings. Moshe Rabbeinu said exactly the same thing. He said, kill me. I'm not interested in participating. You want to do it, do it without me. The truth is that Lapella, we find that this in and of itself, as we pointed out, is part of the etzem meaning of the Nevi'is. This battle is what a Navi is for. Because as the Eben Ezra points out, that's the whole idea of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not do anything in the world. So what is that point that we brought away from Avram Avinu? What's immediate? Avram goes out to fight. It's vayigash. It's chalil alacha. What are you gonna? What's the matter with you? What a chil Hashem! How could you act this way? Shafet kolarza chutz b'shein kamoh. Shafet kolarza liyasa mishpat. So this is part of the Navi's tafkin. When Eliyahu Navi gets out there at our Sinai, and he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm very unimpressed with your sound and light show. You could find somebody else to do that job. This is not my job. I am a kanoi. This is my identity. If it's the time for my kanos to end, it's no longer a welcome for Pinchas. So then, fine. So I'm out of here. Kilotov anochim yavotai. As the Mefarshim say, here's a riot that he must have been Pinchas. Because, well, what does he say? Kilotov anochim yavotai. Everybody dies. What do you mean? I'm no better than anybody else. Obviously, Elo the pshat is that he hadn't died. And that he was actually right to live forever and did end up living forever. And he says, but this is ridiculous. If I can't do anything with this identity, why should I be better than other people? I'd be able to utilize it. If you want somebody else to do the job, so fine. But that doesn't need a Pinchas to do that job. And this was the moment that we said that the element of the Amitai aspect of Eliyahu, as opposed to the Pinchas aspect of Eliyahu, the Nadav Avihu aspects, as well as the Zohar identifies, this is this moment in which he's giving over his life essentially to Yonah ben Amittai, and that's we understood it as being the Nar that he left behind. This is that moment. And through that we came to understand what it was that Yonah had originally wanted. And therefore it's a pillar. If he himself was the one that continues the battle of Eliyahu, where his dying words are basically, this is ridiculous, that tshuva, which I thought was so earth-shattering, was garbage, and here I am a day later being threatened my life, and I see that Yitzchak is going to kill me, so I have to run away to Midbar Yehuda, and even there I'm going to be killed. So what do I need it for? So Yonah obviously is super sensitive to that issue. That's exactly what he believes his life is for, is to be made on the reality of teshuva, the reality of Nevi'ahs, that we cannot tolerate anything less. So it makes a great deal of sense why all of a sudden just... So what happened? He turned chicken because he sees the water. The water scares him. Kol mishparecha v'galecha layavaru. That's enough to change him. You're telling me that Navi could not imagine what it would be like to drown. But it's ridiculous. It just it does not seem possible. There's plenty of human beings that are not in the Madriga of a Navi who have been aimed with their Shita in a much worse circumstances through torture and hell on earth. And this was their life. I only regret that I have one life to lose from my country. What can you do? So all of a sudden he's giving in because now he turned chicken. Can't be. Ella must be that what took place under the Yam was in fact either a literal rebirth. So when he talks about Mibet and Sha'ol, he was literally dead in that sense. Not necessarily like the Abarbanel who learns he's referring to his previous death and his coming back to life again through Eliyahu, which of course is undoubtedly part of this whole thing, but that he is a person who represents very much what Eliyahu was. That idea of Trias HaMesim, the Maftech of Trias HaMesim, the Elisha Keach of Trias HaMesim, the Bishnayim Yeruchacha of Trias HaMesim. The idea that in the end, ultimate tikkun is achieved by somebody who can be Mechayim Mesim. What we're looking at in Yena is essentially Trias HaMesim. So in other words, it's true, I gave myself up for death. But you know what? I discovered something in this vision of dying, so to speak. What it is that I saw, seeing the entire structure of the Yam and all the Levios and everything else, I'm reborn as a completely new person. Now, Barnea is going to be sitting there glaring the whole time because he has something to say. He's trying to hold it in. So I recommend that we let him say it because otherwise it's not going to be shot. Yes, Rebbe.
It struck me. Gehazi was told, don't speak. Here we have a problem with Yonah who can't speak. He was supposed to be right with not speaking.
I don't know whether it's...
I don't either.
The reason he doesn't want Gehazi to speak is because Gehazi puts things down. And it says that Gehazi destroyed the Kayach of the...
But it was going to be revived and something with not speaking. That hasn't been something great. And then he ruined it.
Good. So therefore, there's no question that something changed. That something, as Yonah himself said in Pasuk Vav, was afafuni mayim ad nefesh tahom yisodavim. This idea of the kitzvei arim yoradati, I went down to the under the lowest parts of the trenches of the arim that are underwater, Chazal understand that the reference over here, especially in Ches, where it says, "Vatavoy lecha tefilati lechal kodshecha," is specifically a part of the story in which the dog took Yonah and said to him, by the way, you should know you are right now under the area of the Kodshei HaKadosh. You're under the Hecha. So you should daven. Of course, this was the place where he had originally gotten his Nevi'ahs, was the Tahom, which is the Barashis, was Simchas Pesach Shoeva. All of a sudden he's reconnecting to the Makor of his Nevi'ahs. So the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says, so he tells the dog, he tells that, and we actually learn out from here, the the Kitzvei Harim Yoradati, the Medrash is Medayek, that means that Yerushalayim is Eimed Ad Shiva Harim, Hero, the Eben Hashasiya, which is Kavu, and the Tahima is Tachas Echal Hashem. And so the Dod says to him, Yona, Ariat Omei Tachas Echal Hashem, Hitzpalil Vatanane, Miyad Amar Lo Yona Ledag, stand still, stop swimming, Shani Mevakesh Litpalil. So basically the vision that we had of Rabbi Tarfon's vision that he entered into the dog as if it was a Beit HaKnesses is similar to this whole idea. The eyes of the fish become the windows which Daniel has, which are facing the Hekel Hashem. This is exactly what's happening. So he's seeing through the eyes of the fish. He's seeing the Hekel Hashem. And he's now recognizing something that he didn't recognize before.
When I read this new kicker, I couldn't resist. I looked over at Makam HaMikdash, and then I looked back.
I won't say the underworld is burning his neighborhood, but... But it's close. It's close. So, one of the keys. By the way, before we even get into the keys, I just want to mention to you that the approach of the Zohar of what, why it says Dag and then it turns into Daga. Lamaisa, the teretz that Rashi gives is very difficult because, as many of the Achronim ask, it says in the end that the dog spit him out. Where did he get back into the dog? The whole problem was that it was in a dog, and that's why he was being mispalo, according to Rashi, how to get back into the dog. So the Maaseh of the Zohar has a completely different approach. First of all, the Zohar definitely sees, as we saw earlier, we talked about the Groh, the Zohar sees the meaning of the story. Is very much associated with the nature of what humanity is. It's not a story. Not a story about Yonah. It's a story about the human soul coming into the world, which is the way the Groh takes the whole thing. And therefore, it says that, look, the real idea of Yonah that went into his Sfina, says the Zohar, that's the Nishmat of the Varnash, that's a human soul that comes to this world. And there he is in the ship. And the ship is his body, in which now he has to negotiate the turbulent waters of life. And that's why it's called, his name is Yonah. Why is it named Yonah? Because it's torture. It says, Lo tonu ish et achiv. Right? So don't cheat. The world is nothing but a big cheat. The whole thing is pure Ramos. You're fooled by what you see. You really think it's for real. It takes you thousands of years to figure out. You don't know what you're looking at even. So the whole thing is Ramaut from beginning to end. You come to the world and you're immediately lotonia ishetanito. So here we find a person, Barnash, Azub, Ayama, Kisvina, Begoyama, Rabba, the Chashivat Lidbar. It's constantly on the verge of cracking up. And we all know that feeling very well. We're always on the verge of cracking up. And that's exactly, the boat is thinking, I ain't going to make it. It's the boat that's thinking, says the Tzar. That's the human being in the boat. And that's Kemodich Tiv, how Oniyach, Shvali Shavar. It's brilliant. So fine. So what happens? First time, person starts to go wrong. What does he try to do? Run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does he run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I don't want to be in a place where I have to think about him. I don't want to go to shul where I have to worry about God. I'm going to sit and learn, I have to worry about God. So the running away of into Chutz La'aretz, it's just beautiful. It's essentially a human being. He needs to run away because it's all he needs when he's going to face God. He can't tolerate it. So it's just, that's the whole drive. Escape. Escape. What we call escapism, says the Zohar, that's what the book is about. It's about escaping. You know, so what he was doing is exactly the same. He's watching TV, going to the movies, finding games to play, doing golf, whatever it is. The Iker is never to have to think about anything. So therefore he goes to sleep. That's the Uri Yesheni Mishinatka. Exactly that. Go to the deepest sleep that you possibly can go into. Lose consciousness entirely. Everything is fine. anybody who's got any brain sees we're at the edge of death. The end is coming. You're sitting and shaking. Wake up, Nidan, what's wrong with you? Huh? Something wrong? It's a classic. It's a classic of humanity, right? So Nimela. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu now sends a Ruach Sara. What is that? That's the Gezerah of Din. Person faces the Din, all of a sudden he's terrified, you know? And therefore, now they start asking him, so Nu, where'd you come from? What nation are you from? What do you believe in? You know what it is you're about. All of a sudden he's becoming sense, oh my God, I'm going to have to face up to these questions, essentially. And that's the Rava Chovel and the Zohar, that's the Malach that's in charge of Din, and all of a sudden, the Zohar says, you know, there's three Malach in a sense. One Malach writes up all his mitzvahs, and one writes up all his Fatahim. The third Malach is the Malach that he had been born with, the Malach that slapped him across the mouth and said to him, just remember, I'm going to be back, and makes him swear, be a tzaddik, don't be a Rasha. Promise me, you know, you're going to forget, but I'm going to be back, and that'll be the last day, and then you'll remember. So try to remember all the time. And so that Malach shows up here. And this is the taking him and throwing him into the yam. That's basically a person being thrown into the kever. And at that point, the Gezeras Din is never lo shochich. It doesn't come. Ad ahu zimna dechti vayisu et Yonah. They take him from his home into the Beit HaKvaros. And then you find out what it is that he, if he was zoicha, yavo shalom, yanu chamishkevotam. And so on and so forth. That whole last part is a question of his coming into Olam Haba. Is he Zohar or not? So that already puts obviously it's not necessarily Zohar saying the whole thing is a non-realistic metaphor necessarily. But the point is that the story exists so clearly on a level of metaphor. That when we understand what is going on, we have to be willing to understand it as a profound change and coming into awareness in exactly the same way that facing up to Din is. So in the Zohar, it's really a story of Yom Kippur. It's really a story of Yom HaDin. It's really a story of Yom HaMisa. There it's like the tshuva element of it is not even as central as taking the Uri Yashin and the Shinatram and take your life seriously and recognize what Din means and so on. And then Shuv B'tshuva, because that's the other theme in the story. Fine. Why am I bringing this in? Because we need to take a look at the level, even taking it as if it's every word means literal, which is no reason to say. But if we say that the words are meant literally, it still means that there's impact on a conceptual level about the nature of the human experience, and particularly, which the Zohar leaves out, particularly the nature of what it was that was going on between Eliyahu's mind, Yonah's mind, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asserting is actually meant to take place. So, according to the Zohar, by the way, the Dag and the Daga story is perfect. Because what happens is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that Yonah's perfectly happy. We spoke about that. Yeah, it was really happy. I mean, this is an amazing experience. So it's, you know, I mean, if this is hell, it isn't all that bad. You know, so it's great. I see the world. I meet the Leviathan. It's unbelievable. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, wanted the Yonah to be mispalo. So basically, if that's the thing, then the only way in which Yonah would be capable of responding was to let nature take its course. Let nature take its course is that this dog that's been there for 3 days underwater has been taking him across the globe. There's a limit to how much the dog can take. It dies. The dog dies, and he's surrounded by fish that now want to eat the dead dog. Obviously, now he's in Soros. He realizes in Soros. And so, why is that called Daga? Because it says, Hadaga, Asher Bayor, Meta. So, when a dog is alive, it's called a dog. But when it's Meta, it's called a Daga. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was misfall, was mechayev a daga, which turns into a dog again, because it's alive. And he's over by a chaos that everybody should see. This that's all fine. Okay, that is beautiful in answering the changes in the language, essentially. But it, again, is meramis to the Tzchias HaNesim element. In other words, even the dog itself is a story of something that cannot be and requires a shinui of Tchias HaMesim in order for it to take place. Just like Vayiman Hashem originally means that this was part of the tonight with my separations, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was Mamamin, this dug from Sheshes to Bei Bereshis for this purpose. It's not part of the story of the history of my separations. That's the point. When Chazal say that, it means that it's meant to be understood. It doesn't say it was Tanai Yisnei Maisabrashis, which is generally the explanation of Nisim. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu be Deicha Teva? That's not the question here. The question here is that Vayiman means that what it is that we're reading here is actually part of the Chelek of Tohu of Maisabrashis, which is not meant to be a historical experience at all. So all this is the way we've understood it for many years, that the Alpayim Tohu means that period was part of Bereshis, in which things had not settled into anything resembling what human beings relate to as objective, rational fact, and so on. And the fact is that human beings did not think in that way. In other words, the entire magical thinking that began to change only with the Alpayim Torah, the Avram Avinu, that's what he went out to do. He went out to undo the magic that everything was basically built around, and built around Avodah Zarah and so on, and to end that magic. And we find that period ends the way we understood it as well, with the destruction of Og. Og was the last of the magic story, essentially. When it says Vayiman Hashem dug for Shishim Bereishis, and he falls into the Tahom, and that means that we are literally experiencing that early Tohu, and that's exactly why Yonah is related by Chazal back to the Teva of Noach. So we had two birds that came then. One was the Orev, and the Orev was the bird that took care of Eliyahu. Why did it take care of Eliyahu? Because he's cruel. And the Orev is cruel and doesn't feed its children. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you want to eat? I'll send you the Orvim. They'll provide you food, because that's where you deserve to get food from. And not only that, but where would they bring in the food, says the Gemara Tchulin? Mibei Tavchei De'achav. The very people that you're looking down on, the ones you want to destroy, the ones you're going to appoint Elisha to destroy, that Yonah is going to be the one that ends up actually giving the Malchus to the one who will destroy them. You could eat their food. So the Orvim bring in the incredible slap across the face of being dependent on Beit Tavchei De'achav, on Orvim that came from the Teva. So that Chazal say, Vayelech Haloch V'shov Ad Yaboshet Hamayim. What's Ad Yaboshet Hamayim? Until Eliyahu dried up the water. Unbelievable. So the Balei HaTosfos on Bereishis says, yeah, that's why Yaboshet Hamayim is Tishbi. Same as yes. This is a reference to Eliyahu all along. So this idea of there being something that even has witnessed destruction and only wants to look out for number one. Can you imagine? HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying this to Eliyahu? That's what Achav said to Eliyahu. You're an Eichri Yisrael. What's the matter with you? Shemzah. And he has to argue, Lo ani Eichri Yisrael. It's you who's Eichri Yisrael. Are we sure? After reading the story of the Orvim, comes along, and this is why Elisha is entirely different. Elisha's whole life is a life of involvement with people, trying to help people, and so on. Eliyahu's whole life is this Pinchas attitude, the Isha, where he's blowing things up left and right, and so on, which we see by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. We see the Hakpada on that type of behavior, right? To go back to your Mara, because I don't need you around to destroy the world. But Yonah, and the question is, Yonah seems to have taken on the element of Teshuvah. He wants what it was that Eliyahu was insisting, at least it appears now. The experience of him now in the Tahom, which is his experience of Tahu, brings us right back to the Yoina that was sent out from the Teva. And this is the remes to this Yoina, which is the opposite of the Orev of Eliyahu. And it's the Yoina who essentially is maybe Eira Le'olam, ends up, that's why Rabbi Tarfon is the one who gives all the perushim here about what was happening to Yonah, because it's the Tereth Lefia is Rabbi Tarfon, and we saw all the way by Hanukkah as well. So that Yonah is a remez to that which essentially is Matzil, the secular Yisrael, remarkably. Right, because he's the one that supports the Yeravam. He's the one that says to Yeravam, Yeravam Hasheni, you're going to end up conquering Eretz Yisrael, and indeed, the only other place where he's been, Kidvar Hashem Asher Bepi Yonah Ben Amitai Anavi. That's where we find out what Yonah Ben Amitai was busy doing. This is unbelievable. So this was the whole destruction of Achav, to be able to support a secular Yisrael that had one thing better. They respected the Nevi'im, would not allow Yizevel to go around and destroy the Nevi'im. So that the Gemara says, well, what was special about him? What was special about him that he was zeichet to be written up together with the Malchi Yehuda? For Malchi Yehuda plus Yeravam, who was the Melech Yisrael. What in the world? He sticks out like a sore thumb in that list. What is he doing there? Because when they came, tried to tell him, you should know that they're planning a rebellion, and the head of the rebellion is Amos, and he's running around and he's saying that Yeravam is going to be destroyed and horrible, these horrible things are going to happen. What's his reaction? Chas v'shalom. I should believe about it. Tzaddik is planning a rebellion, and if those are the things he said, but I have a taina against him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have told him to say that. Beautiful, beautiful sense of responsibility and acceptance of the Dvar Hashem in the Vias. Fine. That's what Yonah wants. This relates, of course, to that whole medrash about, and which Rashi takes as the meaning of his being upset that they think of him as a Navi Sheker. That's not stopping of a Navi Sheker, but as we'll see, that Nevias is essentially Sheker. That doesn't really mean anything. See, his support of Yeravam ties in exactly to this. The fact that in the end, it's clear that what it was that he did was absolutely essential for the emes of what comes out, is as we pointed out in Nochum. Nochum is dedicated to Nineveh. So it's Masa Nineveh. So the Navi Nochum, Masa Nineveh, Sefer Chazon, Nochum al Kushi. So the Targum says, what do you mean Sefer Chazon? He's coming, I mean, obviously, if Amasa is a Sefer Chazon by definition, so what's it added? Says the Targum Yonatan, it means that this is the Masa holding up the Kus Delot, the cup of curses, to give to Nineveh. Which Nineveh? The Nineveh of the Sefer Chazon. Which Sefer Chazon? The one that the Navi, he said what's going to happen to Nineveh if they are not actually Misakin. So that means that his Nevi'ah was an absolute Nevi'ah's emes, turned out to be in the end central to what happens to Nineveh years later. We'll talk about that in the next paragraph. And therefore, what we suggested is that when he saw the miracle of this boat being sent back, it was on its way, it had departed to Tarshish, it was sent back, says the Medrash, because, and he jumps to the conclusion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy with what he's doing. He wasn't jumping to a conclusion. He was right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy with what he was doing, and that is why we're medayik, that he calls out Allah Shem Elokav. In other words, he has already made his peace with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent, as the Ramban points out, this is the same lesson we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem Elokav. So that means that he had established a level of relationship of Emunah. Emunah doesn't mean to believe in God. Emunah means to believe that your vision of reality is, in fact, connected with a control. It's faithfulness. And that if that's the case, and then that means that what he discovered in the dog was that Hashem was Elokav. That's the point. And that my feelings are, I'm not at war with HaKadosh Baruch. Actually, we have the same approach. So that means that something profound must have changed. The most striking part of the whole story of the underworld journey, so to speak, when we talk about underworld in Christian culture, is the underworld journey and mythos and so on, is the journey of the dead. Okay, so here's that underworld journey. There's two elements that are so shocking and surprising that they must be fundamentally related, and that is the whole story of meeting the Leviathan, which is, I mean, it's absurd. If that isn't part of the fact that he was Zeichet his Nevius on Sukkot, and that the Sukkot should end up with the Leviathan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a fish, the big fish swallows him. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. It's obvious that there is a Tahom, Sukkah, Oresh HaLeviathan, Story of HaLeviathan. It's a theme that is so bolet that unless it's addressed, you're not even talking about this book, at least the way the Medrash sees it, right? And it's clear once you're about a big fish, it's your first thought is, wait, how does that relate back to Maisa Bereishis? The only big fish that was in Maisa Bereishis is the Taninim HaGidolim, and that's the Neve Hanun, which is Ninve. That's what the word Ninve means. The place, the home of the fish. Neve Hanun. Unbelievable. That's the Tanin, is the Nin. So basically, the story really is about what that would be. That was one element. The other shocking element is the weird story in which he promises the dog that he will save them from the Leviathan, comes and meets the Leviathan, and says, I just needed to come see where you were because I was planning on one of these days soon. I was planning on coming down and bringing you up to feed you as a tzaddik. You know, we'll use your skin for the sukkah. So this is the sukkah sorosh of Yosef, and the sukkah of Yosef. The Yosef doesn't swallow him up. No, why? Because he shows him bris milah. What? This is like very impressive. Says the Medrash. Oh yes, you have no idea what bris milah means to all of the animals, to all of the world. Bris milah is tremendous. Bris milah to animals, bris milah to fish. What in the world does this mean to them? So it's clear. I mean, we spoke about the relationship of Yonah. For many, many Makaris is that he's actually the Nishmas of Mashiach ben Yosef. And Elio, that was what Elio gave him from his Yosef relationship. And that was the whole future, so that the Geula, the Malach HaBris, are all interrelated. This is Elio who needed to be the Malach HaBris, and it turns out that that's the one thing that had been given over. That's the V'yid Gularov B'Kerav Aretz, that's the Chelak of Menashe of Ephraim, that's the ability to deal with secularism is the Menashe of Ephraim, the dealing with the Yumas HaElam, Mitzrayim, the Shivim L'Shenes, which takes place immediately in the Teva, as we saw. It's a profoundly interwoven book. The contradiction between Bris Milah and the Leviathan is so profound, and this is exactly what the Medrash is bringing out. The Leviathan sees Bris Milah and runs for the next 2 days to escape Yonah. Now, obviously, even on the simplest level, the contradiction of Bris Milah and Leviathan is profound because the Leviathan represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's playing with the world. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do with his spare time, says the Medrash? He's misafik Leviathan. The Sukkah's Orosh HaLeviathan is a very profound element of Sukkah itself, in which the nature of the Sukkah is that it serves as an ex post facto asifa of the world. It is death. Exactly the same way that Yonah's experience is an experience of death. Obviously, he meets the Leviathan. But the Livyasan is not an agent of death. The Livyasan is the agent of the Leviathan. That's why it's called the Livyasan. The point of the Leviathan is that that transition, that is what enables you literally at Leviathan. When you speak a hesped and a Leviathan, that's why the hesped on the Yetzer Hara is right there in Maseches Sukkah. And it's a machlokes d'mar. Is it the hesped on Mashiach ben Yosef, or is it the hesped on the Yetzer Hara? You think that too is a coincidence? That's the Leviathan, the big Leviathan. That's exactly what we're talking about. So what is that? That is Koheles's Shem Tov, Tov Shemi Shemen Tov, Yom HaMavet, Miyom Yivoka. That means that you can take out of the entirety of a life things that you never see while it's in progress. And that's why people will say things at Leviathan they never ever would have said during a person's lifetime. They hold a guy as a total idiot. All of a sudden at the Leviathan he becomes the guy that everybody's talking about, crying over, he was such a wonderful, what do you mean he was such a wonderful, yesterday you were telling me you want to completely destroy him, throw him out of the shul. Now all of a sudden he's the nicest guy in the world. Because that's exactly the point that Carlos is making. The moment that it's over, the moment that the ship is no longer being tossed and forced to do what it needs to do in order to survive and in order to make itself. Now, so what Lamaisa came out of it? What was it about? What was the story? Let's hear the story. Everybody has a story. Every life represents that story. That's the Leviathan. When we talk about the Leviathan, it means that accompanying us from my separations, the only thing that accompanies us from my separations and doesn't change, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow it to reproduce, which of course is all about Bris Milah. It knows not from reproduction. It knows only what it is. It's the same Leviathan that was there, changeless, that Kadosh Baruch Hu can play with, because that represents whatever vision was implanted in my subconscious, continues on with the Leviathan, and just surfaces, like we say about a fish, at the end. It surfaces. But now you see it was all there the whole time. It's not that you're fighting. Your fight was exactly what was needed for the Leviathan to go. Thank you very much. It's a lovely story. We very much appreciate it. You think you were fighting. You suddenly discover that all of the things, exactly what happens to Haman. You know, I thought that I was fighting, and it turned out that everybody has to say, you know, you don't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Haman in the end. So what happens here is that Bris Milah represents the journey. The whole part of Bris Milah is the journey. Whether it's the element of the actual Darwinian aspect of Bris Milah, in which you have to now put in your thought, your concern, your building, your marrying, you're going through life with all of that it is involved, with a dedication to the constant improvement and tikkun and commitment to the future. All of that is part of the Bris Milah. Not accepting the world as it is. It's the exact opposite of Leviathan. Leviathan just went, give me the beginning, give me the end. You know? The part about the middle, those are the stories, and that's very nice, but you know, you show me Bris Milah, that kills me. I don't want to hear from Bris Milah. I don't want to know from that pain. I don't want to know from Kol Mishparecha V'Galecha L'Yavoro. Those are the human beings, Nebach, up there. Oh, those poor things. You know, so they're suddenly confronted by a human being who's saying, look, the bottom line is, you may have it all, but what I have is so much more than you. Because you have nothing. Except for me. And one of these days, we're going to be eating you. Not you going to be eating us. So that's an entirely different vision of what it was that he... That's an entirely different vision of what it is that he sees. Close the door. Because what has happened to him is we already saw the remez back in the first parak. Amazing remez. What has happened to Yonah is that these sailors, and we were surprised, by the fact that the Medrash says that the words Mishamri Havlei Shav Chazdam Yazovu doesn't mean that they're not going to keep it the way the Radak, that's the Pashtus of it, meaning. It means, no, that they did keep it. Why did they keep it? Chazdam Yazovu means they're, either it means they're Cherpa, Loshen Chesedu, by Achoso, Yazovu, they're going to leave their Avodah Zarah, or their sweet feelings that they had to their gods. They throw it out the window and they threw everything overboard, their gods included. Why does it mean that? It means it because Yonah was there, and the tshuva that they did was in the context of Yonah. That is the key to the whole thing. Whatever it is that these goyim do means something because Yisrael makes it mean something. In the context of someone like Yonah that they were frightened of, they could barely talk to him. The captain gingerly approaches him by a crate. They see they're terrified to throw him into the arm. The first thing the sailors would do, what do you mean? We pulled a gorah, we know it's your fault? Get out of here, you're killing us. Not a word. Just terror at being in the presence of such a person, trying to understand how does somebody fight God? It's like everything changes when it's in that context of Yonah. But on the other hand, that amazing medrash that really puts everything into focus. That medrash says, from here you see, you don't need brains, you don't need training, you don't need sophistication. Yira itself is greater than the most unbelievable chokhmah. Because these guys were the lowest of the low, and that was the yirida of him to go with them, Imahem. And look at this. All of a sudden, they're on such a madrega that they become Geri Tzedek. On the spot, become Geri Tzedek. Keep their vows. Bring their kids to Yerushalayim. But it's an amazing story. And how did such a thing happen, Bichol? So what he understood is that the real teshuva that comes, Eliyahu was trying to make teshuva from, you've got to make choices. Im Hashem Elohim, Im Abalu Elohim, Abatayatem Poschim Ashkei Asiyapim. It's time to make serious choices and understand what life is all about. Eliyahu thought that the approach to that is to actually get people to try to understand things. And it's because of that, that what he did was not workable. How do we know it's not workable? Because he was makriv on Har HaKarmel. And Har HaKarmel, it's also to be makriv on. So the Gemara says, but it was a Horat Shah. Exactly. A Horat Shah means it's something that isn't going to work permanently. It's something you can do for a while. For the hour. So that's the 24 hours. He's ever said that. That's all. 24 hours. You're dead. It's time tomorrow. What Yonah recognized is greater than the most unbelievable conceptual recognition. Wow, it's all fake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shelet B'Shamayim Aretz is the things that stand on the Darga. The things that stand on the Darga of just what would a simple noon, what would a simple human being see under these circumstances? That's it. If it isn't simple, if it isn't something that a sailor would pick up and say, oh my gosh, I can't live like this. And in the end, the truth is, as we'll see, in Nineveh, they didn't need to understand anything. He didn't have to explain anything. Why? Because it was building in them. People hate it when they suspect that they are garbage. It just needs a trigger for them to recognize, oh my God, this is insane. It's not sustainable. It's just not sustainable. So whatever that trigger is, which we'll talk about in the next paragraph, that is so much more powerful. So that what it is that Yonah had to come to was absolute simplicity, which is perfectly consistent. That's what the Shivim U'Maisar are about. That's what his original appearance in the world as the Yonah of the Teva. That's what it was about. It was about the nations that were going to be born. The desire just to make life work. To be able to bring light to the world. And to be dependent beyond of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire Noach experience. The B'nai Noach that were here. The humanity of it. Which Elio, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. You've become inhumane. The tsar that people are going through. I have to show you an almana for you to understand the tsar that people are going through. This is what happens when everything becomes conceptual. The world is not going to succeed because of the conceptual. The world is going to succeed because the Levyasin runs away from the Bris Mila. Those are the people that are doing the dirty work. This is a tough world. And those people can see things, and you see this all the time in life. You meet somebody very simple, and they see straight to the issue. They know exactly, and that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us through Moshe Rabbeinu. If you're going to be ma'aves, the Torah, then shaitim atem nachshavim. You think any guy walking down the street is like a local Jew is a total idiot. How does he know? I don't know how he knows, but let me tell you something. You don't have to be bright to know things. You just have to be able to be human and sense that this isn't even human. This is crazy. And people know when something is crazy. So his experience here under the water, yeah, turns him into a different person, to be continued. But the impact on Yonah, as we see, doesn't occur until he's after the experience here in the Yam. And that means that there's something that's added to him, not that he was able to hop in there immediately after seeing what happened to the sailors. That was what he had expected all along, was that his presence would have an immense impact. And on the contrary, that was part of his proof, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it isn't about talking, it's about being the complexity of Yisrael. And that was, as we understood, one of the reasons he didn't want to talk. I'm not going to discuss it. You want to experience what I am, then you know it's not to talk. It's to be discovered. And this takes us to the other element of the Tahom and the Levyasin and so on. And that other element, what Ram is to earlier, is that the overall story about this being about a big fish, and about its being about Nineveh, which is the home of the fish, so to speak, and even the Osios of Yonah, related to the idea of Nineveh and so on. So according to Chazal, part of the issue here is specifically directly nogea the concept of tshuva. Tshuva has to do with tohu, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu had to be drawn out of tohu. Tshuva has to do with chamishim. Chamishim is yam. It has to do with bina. It has to do with, as all solutions do, it has to do with things going into solution. The reason that we solve things, as we use a solvent in that sense, the reason that we solve things is because essentially we are capable of restructuring things in such a way that we can now see an answer where before we couldn't. One of the most common experiences that we have of this kind of thing is a concept called intuition, which is why we speak about women as having bina yetera. Bina yetera doesn't really mean intuition. Bina yetera is directly related to the fact that daitan kalos. In other words, the less committed you are to a specific way of seeing things, the more likely you are to come up with a natural solution because things pop into place on their own. That's the point. So when we're talking about bina, we're talking about dreams, we're talking about this dreamlike experience, this is the chamishim, which is chirus, which is yovel, which is the Ima Ilah, it's the great mother of the world in the Tzar, which is the Kayach of Tshuva, which is the Olam Haba, is the Olam of Bina, it's the Olam of pure Chayrus. And all Teshuva, ultimately, if you're going to speak about the ultimate Tikkun of what life is about, is the entirety of the potential of things in ways that are not stuck in one particular approach. And all teshuva, of course, even in the simplest sense of a resolution of something, all of that takes place only because we're able to let go and see things on a deeper level. But that deeper level can be very simple. It can be simply a relinquishing of the das that we were koveya in ourselves, which was the ta'ut in the first place. A story of a boat being broken up at sea, falling into the sea. The Livyasan, which represents the full potential of the world without any of the details of what happens within it. That is very much where, in his experience of finding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to see this, that in fact he's been invited to commit suicide, so to speak, in order to be able to come into this new Beit HaKnesset, which sees the entirety of the earth, which sees how the Beis HaMikdash is aimed on the time, which sees the entire potential for the tikkun, which is the neder that he makes. Where then that's the meaning according to the Medrash. If when he says over here, there's contrast and talk to the Mishamrei Havlei Shav, but Aniya, he says, when I make a neder, I keep it. Asher Nadarti Ashalima. What is that Nadarti Ashalima? Until he said that, Asher Nadarti Ashalima, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell the dog to spit him out into the sea. But after he said, Kivan, Shushlach Liyam, Niskarlo Shinadar, Itpalel Afne HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shelom, Yodea Ani Shinadarti, Velo Shilamti. And what is that neder? That neder is that he was neder, that he would bring the Livyasan, the Asid Lavai. And that's what he says, Asher Nadarti Lahalot Et HaLivyatan. That's my commitment. So that means that the new thing that he recognized, in which this was Hashem Elokav, was the understanding that it is more nogea, ultimate tikkun, than immediate tikkun. And that the approach of searching for immediate tikkun is a mistake. And in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesachik to Livyasan, and this explains all the strange midrashim about the question that they had to go back to Livyasan and find out whether the Ratzon Hashem was really that the dog should have a weird story. And they say, okay, we'll go to Livyasan, we'll ask Livyasan, and it's, how's Livyasan supposed to know? Well, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just playing with me, you know, we're basically tennis partners every day. So, you know, he was talking about this old story, and he said, yes, that the dog is supposed to swallow the. What in the world? But that's the point. In other words, the understanding of the infinite patience that Maaseh Bereishis has, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's search for being misak in the world, of his desire for that tikkun. And this is part of what all Yom Kippur is about. Yom Kippur is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's search for us. Beyond the dirshas Hashem b'imatzo. Okay, make yourself available. Making yourself available is nothing like Yom Kippur, in which all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes the mikveh of the world. So that you recognizing, Ma mikveh metaris hatmeim, as a mikveh action metaris hatmeim. That's the point in which the physicality becomes bottle to the meyat haom, so to speak, to the entire potential of the world, which the specific details of yourself are seen now within such an immense context that they're kelo, the entirety of Maaseh Bereishis, that's the Livyasan. So conceptually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metaris HaTamayim is directly related to Sukkos. It's exactly why we come out of Yom Kippur into a Sukkah. So what it is that is happening to Yonah is that he sees the Shaychus to Tikkun in these sailors, and then the experience of being these 3 days of re-experiencing the context of the entirety of my separations, seeing how the Heichal and his own discovery of Nevi'ahs was part of that entirety of HaKadosh Baruch Hu searching for a completely new Bria that has within it a tshuva that must find its way out. And that's the creation of the world with the Hei, the Yibor Am. Because Rashi says it's meant to be easy to fall out of. The Svina is always going to Chishvali Shaver. Any person finds himself in this world is in a boat that's in immediate danger. But that's what it's supposed to be. And now that means that that entire experience of this Sar Gadol and everything that is happening to us That is part, somehow, which we have to experience at the end. It's too early right now for us to understand it, because it's only at the very end of the story that Yonah actually goes to sit in a sukkah. He literally builds a sukkah. And it's amazing that this goes from Mincha of Yom HaKippur, which is the Mincha Ba'alot HaMincha Zeviyo, and directly into a sukkah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this making of the tree, and that relates back to the Tefillah on Mayim, which is the essence of Adam, the essence of Sukkah, his falling in love with the tree, his feeling if a tree dies, it's worth dying for, and it's a crazy story. So all of these things are clearly fundamentally interrelated in one complete story that goes from the Shittim in his original Nevi'ahs through his discovery of what happens at the end and why he should have come back to that sukkah, which is what he was looking for. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's solution to which I say is clearly that's what's coming. And that's what we have to look forward to in the coming parakim. But the changeover from the boat into the vision of an entirety of Maisa Bereishis, which incorporates all of the Maisim, which is the fullness of the Levaya of the Levyosan, to all of humanity, and whatever has been achieved, and whatever had to be suffered in the lives of the millions and hundreds of millions that had to go through this Svina Mittarefet Bayam, as the Zohar puts it, which is the experience of our lives. We're always on the verge of breaking up, as I said. That idea is what clicks now, what happened in the boat, to what he understands now is about the nature of what needs to happen in the world. And therefore, it's no longer a search for, the only way to deal with it is for them to see a true Ben Yisrael, and that way their own natural inclination. No, it's not true. If it isn't built up from the bottom, piece by piece. And this is how his bris milah suddenly relates in his mind to the power of the Levyasin. So it's more powerful. It's not that he's snagged as a bris milah to the Levyasin, which is the first vision. It's the deeper recognition that you build up generation by generation. Tohu, by every sperm cell is tohu, essentially. That's the mikra element that comes from tohu. You're building up Maisa Bereishis from, that's the Me'ayin Bata, as Me'ezeh Amat Tezar puts it, so where did you come from? That relationship of where he came from, it's ultimately the Tohu. And that yet in a way that is the greatest Giluyim. We spoke about this in terms of Esther as well. And the Goralot, and the Goralot that take place here, the Goralot that take place on Purim, the Goralot that take place on Yom HaKippurim, all are related to Tohu, to Mikra, and the way in which Tohu is part of any possible Tikkun of the Olam. And therefore, he no longer is in a position of demanding to have to know what they're doing. It has to be completely clear. That has to be something that's going to stick around. Not going to be Mishamra Mavle Shav. He no longer believes that. On the contrary, now he sees that the first step is always going to be a Krovei Tshuva step. Little children do Tshuva. What are the little children? They feel bad about what they did. Where does that come from? Why would a child who said something nasty to someone not be able to sleep because they said something nasty? Why? What is miyaser then? Afleilot yisurnei chil yotai. From where? How does a 5-year-old know that? Is it just the social pressure? Is it just the feeling of the disapproval? Is guilt not something? V'ashama nefesh, is something deeper than that that all of us have experienced from the youngest ages? So that means that there is a keach searching for tikkun in the Olam. Has it addressed that childish need for tikkun? The childish need for tikkun is the guy that's called Krovei Tshuva. It's a childish need for tikkun. Go tell a Christian that Yoshka Pippik has said that his life is a disaster. What? My God, what can I do? What can I do to fix it? No question about it. That he understood that his problem of Krovei Tshuva is a mistake that Adarabha, the message to Israel, it's not a kitchen on Israel. It's an amazing message to Israel. But see, you can't do tshuva shlema. So that's the whole point, as the Rambam was making, of Yom HaKippurim. Am I asking you for kapara? I'm offering you kapara. So klimach and dvarim, can we talk about it? At least can we talk about it? Can you tell me that you realize something is wrong? That's all I want to hear. That's all I want to hear. That we're not crazy enough to say tzadikim anachtuv lo chatanu. Thank you. So at least we're on the same page. You're telling me you're crazy. I can appreciate that. You're telling me you don't know what to do. I can appreciate that also. I'll wait. One day you'll find out what to do. But if you keep saying you're not crazy, nothing's ever going to change. Okay, so that's the first level. And that indeed is a goyish approach, which everybody experiences on Yom Kippur. The simplest people, you see it all over in Eretz Yisrael. People that would be screaming and shouting every other, how come there's no buses? 100%. Close down the airport, turn off the radio stations, the entire country closes down. What do you mean? What's going to happen with this? I don't know, we better do something. It's very childish, it's very Krov Tshuva, but it's touching on something very profound that is not distant from Israel, but on the contrary, tickles the Israel aspect. Makes you feel for a moment that there's something that is mechubar to the lowest reaches of life, to the Tahom itself, that is still part of you as this. Well, I don't know what to do about that part. Friends, you don't. So feel the hunger. That tells us something. Which completely changes the whole nature of the experience. Exactly. Something. So that's not the Krov Tshuva, and that's not a Kishrut, but on the contrary, it becomes a Pesach, the Tshuva on Yom Kippur as well. It took him literally death to understand that, which is why he's able to come now to the Sukkah, which is the Asifa, after having been through the Levaya, so to speak, with the Levyasa, and to recognize himself. That's the only thing that's going to be part of the Seudah Lasid Lava. If I have visions of God, that's why Hashem Adarti Hashem is so important to the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. If I had visions of Geula the way Elio had visions of Geula, now I don't. Let him, as the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you watch every bris milah. That's what happened in the end. That's why he understood on his own to show bris milah to the Levi Yosef. I understand now my real job is to be makar to Levi Yosef. To be makar to Levi Yosef is an entirely different kind of work of infinite patience, to be makar to Levi Yosef. Okay, so that leads us to the closing pasuk in the second. Yeah, you just came here. Vayomer Adonai Nadav, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to the dog. Let me say what it is even that he says. So indeed the mitzvah says Vayomer doesn't mean that there was a tzivu to the dog. Hey, so in other words, even the dog's sensitivity comes with just, that's the way it is. Yeah, I don't hear anything as a dog. I don't hear a tzivu as a dog. I don't need manipulation as a dog. Something in me changes. And that's what we all experience. Because in a sense, as we'll see, we become part of the dog in the story of the big fish. Vayakeh et Yonah el hayabasha. And now, Yonah, so to speak, comes back to life on the dry land. So that this entire period we see as a jimei tohu. It's the alpine tohu. You come out on the yabasha, you cross the chulin into life, and now you can start acting in. Now, here is that selection that I told you I was going to append, which had been given before Yom Kippur, right after the Hilchot Teshuvah Shir. Be Messiah, a little bit of some of the implications. We were in the middle of the second parak of Yonah. We didn't have enough time to complete it. And obviously, in the course of the Yonah, I'll go back and complete it properly. But there are parts that are Nogea, that are very Nogea, the whole concept of tshuva. We had just stumbled over, so to speak, in the whole relationship of tshuva to the story with the tree and the way he was trying to be misakin the elements of tshuva that Elio had messed up on and the Hirasha and Har HaKarmel and the way that it was Nogea, the Levi Yosef and the whole falling into the Yam and Nineveh is Nineveh Hanun and the concept of Bina and Cherus and so on, which is all part of what tshuva is, Kabbalistically, is a restoration of Bina. And that's where the Akiva's comparison to a mikveh, a mikveh mitaras hatmeim. The truth is that the yam, the mikveh amayim, nikra yamim, is called Tikva. It's called Mikva. So therefore, the day of hope. That's why Kaveh El Hashem is the whole introduction to the whole period. Chazak v'amisibach again v'kaveh El Hashem. So that kav, in which all things are meant to be in a position in which their original vision is, what we've been talking about is this concept of harmony. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to have a world in which things meet each other, that things are in solution. My separation is always in solution, essentially, right? In other words, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the nature of Tahom and Tohu, and allowing things to develop and not paskening their din, is exactly the union of Dogim Shabiyan. The person is an Eimed on them, and therefore there's no Ayin Hara on them. That's the Zara of the Yosef. There's a certain loss of the individual quality of an individual moment and so on, which is normally the matzav of my separations. The only time where there's a violation of that is either at the end of the story, where there's the Yom HaDin HaGadol for an individual at the end of his life, and then the elements of din which replicate the end of the world or replicate the end of life, which is Rosh Hashanah to Yom HaKippurim, and that process of judgment, which is not really the completion of the judgment. It's not really looking at the end product. It's looking at the product as it is now, as if it were the end product. The union of Yom HaKippurim, its relationship to Yovel, to Tshuva, Chamishim, we spoke about, is a getter of reset. You press restart, you reboot. Nachal of Eretz Yisrael goes back to where it was. It's as if you were just Yerush Eretz Yisrael, and that's called Geula. Everything is in its place. It's called Geula Karkavot, and so on and so forth. And that was the way in which Mashiach was born. Essentially, it was through Geula. We said that the whole process of the connection to the earth, which is what is going through in Yonah, the fact that he has to be able to relate, and he takes us from Yom HaKippurim to Sukkot, the relationship to the earth, the relationship to Yom HaZayilah, the relationship to Tefillah, which is Tefillah for trees, Tefillah for rain, the simplest things on earth, going back to Gan Eden, which was the sherish of the Kilkol Gan, allowed for the chait and the choices that create the need for Teshuvah. It's only coming back full circle in that sense that it's possible to be Eimed on Teshuvah. And clearly that's what's happening to Yonah, in which he's beginning to understand that it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, let's settle for less. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, the big Teshuvah means nothing if it isn't built on less. That's the point. If you don't think that it makes a difference in terms of the simple humanity, because you know what? Forget about humanity. You're saying these people are barely human. You're right. Ubehima Rabba, there's lots of animals there. You think I don't care about the animals? The other Ubehima Toshia Hashem, that's not enough for you? You think when Rebbe chased the cat out of his house and suffered for the rest of his life for chasing a cat out of his house, this is a small issue? And he only was able to be misakin that when he said, V'rachamav akol ma'asav. So you, in reconnecting here with the whole story of my precious, which to me is a game. So I'm misachikim livyosa. To me, nothing has changed. We have the same play every single day. We meet out there on the field and have our little games every day. You're the people that are taking everything seriously, because life consists of what's right in front. Very important. Ooh, I have to be misachim this tremendous chait. You don't know nothing from chait. You have no idea whether I'm makbid on that chait, not makbid on that chait. I don't like the fact that you don't take me seriously. Question of what the impact of this chait is for a shmo like you, I have no idea. You have no idea, that I guarantee you. You have no idea if you're a Rosh HaGomer, a Tzadik Gomer, you have no idea. Generally, you have no idea. That's as the Kesem Mishnah points out from the Rambam Perek Shlishi. But you know, you say, how come this guy's alive? You know he's a Rosh. What do you mean? I mean, he's Hitler. He's got, you know he's a Rosh. You understand, like, on what parts he is personally responsible, what parts he isn't, where he's insane, where he's sane. You don't know about anybody else, you don't know about yourself. So that's not the issue. You have to accept the fact that there are simple, very simple levels of responding to the way things are. And those are levels that any Ben Noach responds to. And that's exactly what the story of Yonah is about. You take a look at somebody like this, and that's what exactly what the Medrash Tanhuma is saying. Vayu'u anashim yira gdola mikan, that yira is greater than any level of chokhma. Why? Because these people have no chokhma. They're a bunch of stevedores, the lowest class people, a bunch of Harlem Schwarzes, Greeks. God only knows the lowest level. Anybody that's worked on a boat knows what that boat is like. I mean, that's the vayered imayim. That's the Navi makes that mashmaut. He had to be with them. Accepting a job on a boat, believe me, from personal experience, is hell. You absolutely have no idea what you're getting into. The lowest of the low. So, nonetheless, that whole experience was to him an eye-opening experience. Just being what he was and his ability to affect everything around him. Like the Medrash says, people pick up things, you know. The same thing. What are you going to do? Sit there and conceptualize with them? It isn't conceptual. It's you. There's things that you see and they make an impact on you. If that is doable in Minvay, then it's doable for Bnei Yisrael. That's all I'm telling you. You're saying, yeah, but what's the point? I mean, you pick up things and the next day you forget the things. If you haven't absorbed them into some type of conceptual structure that you can re-access, what good is it? They'll do tshuva today and they'll die tomorrow. So what? What are you going to do? You're going to conceptualize and from that come to tshuva. That isn't going to help. That's what Eliyahu tried to do with the Zerusha, and it didn't even last a day. It was worse than Ninveh. And amazingly, pointed out yesterday, we do both on Yom Kippur. First we do the Ninveh jazz, and then we say Hashem Ru Elokim, Hashem Ru Elokim. Neither of them had any meaning at the time. So how is this the thing that leads up to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad? It's not unbelievable. So that means the recognition that tshuva has to come out of solution. It needs to come out of chamisha. It's not just that your thinking can change, your paradigms can change, things may be completely different in their interrelationships than they appear to you. There's also a simple understanding of bina, that which we often mean when we talk about bina yisera with women. We use it in that sense, even though it doesn't violate the other meaning. That there's an intuitive understanding of things, that the Mars element of men doesn't allow them to see. There's the constant aggressive desire to explain things and to make them work and to force your way on the world or on your psyche and someone else's psyche and make things work out. And the whole point of the teshuva that he experiences is you can't make things work out for the first steps of truth. You have to learn to be like those Bnei Noyah. So what do you see? Come on, stop for it. Tell me the truth. What do you see? You look in the mirror. What do you see? Don't give me a whole concept. Forget about your Bina and your Chachma. I'm here, your Chachma. God only call Chachma. What are you looking at in terms of Yira? And that we need to learn to take far more seriously, because the truth is, the simplest people can respond to that, and they really do respond. So you'll say, but they don't build on it. That's a different issue. So you build on it. But the world is built of very simple things. And those simple things gradually, if there is some element that connects them to a totality, and that element is Yisrael. And that's why the Medrash says that even though Yonah was saying, you know, Chastam Yazovu, they're saying today they're going to become Kerim, they're going to bring their families, I'd like to see it. The Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says it's exactly what happened. But why did it happen? I might suggest it happened because of him. He was right that if it wouldn't have been that what they achieved was with him present and with their sense of, man, things really mean something, this guy is scary. Right? So then, you know, the army would have been, you know, okay, we were endangered by the raging sea and God saved us. And, you know, we'll bring carbonas or come carry him. Well, I don't know, that was yesterday. Maybe tomorrow, exactly. But when it's in the context of the Yisrael that is Ma'achid, it's the same thing with the Shivim Purim on Sukkos. The relationship of the Shivim Purim to Shmini Atzeres is not a simple relationship for us only. So now we have the Uma Yechida and the Goyim can all drop dead and so on and so forth. Well, what is that? As the Zohar says, that, I mean, that's sort of Ayin, understand? I mean, it's a lie, you're bringing Karbanis for them, but it's only in order to get rid of them. What does that mean? And the pshat is clearly that the presence of Yisrael is able to give all of that meaning in a different way. Which obviously that's the point. I mean, we feel that. We feel that when we utilize what's going on in the world and make it part of what we are, that the whole world has become harmonious because of it. Because of that yichud that was done with Yisrael. And that's ultimately the yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That anything that was there in solution comes out in the end as having been so real and so meaningful. Even though it was the simplest things, it was a bunch of goyim, nobody knew what they were doing. You don't need to know what you are doing. That's the Medrash Gadol Yira. That's what was important. And so the same thing is true. Lots of people will sit on Yom Kippurim, think about all kinds of deep thoughts and so on, about how I want to make my life. But those deep thoughts, if they're not mischaber to the sense of being in life's movement of tohu and so on, which is why, again, we pointed out so many times that Yom Kippur is mechayev you to remember that you want to eat.
You want to eat?
You want to eat. You want sex. You want those shoes. You want all the things. Because it's not to do them that the Torah says. It's to sense the deprivation of
Inu.
So that means that the sense that we have of being torn in two directions is part of the essence of Yom Kippurim. I'd love to be this way, but I don't really want to be this way. I love this davening. How much time left? Right. This constant sense of being torn in two directions. You know,
that's exactly.
And there you are, Hashem Elokim. Baruch Hashem is only three times left. Hashem Elokim only four times. So, okay, it's over. Oy, chaval. I can't wait till next Yom Kippur. What time do we get home? It's amazing. Our psychology takes this. Yeah, why not? You know. And people don't understand that that's the point. Sometimes feel guilty about it. It's like, what kind of person am I? But that's what it's meant to be. So Yom Kippur itself is wrapped up with the flow of the Toch Tumotam. That's how it's defined. It's meant to be a day that allows for a flow betoch Tumotam. It's not meant for the end, for a real end. It's meant for a new beginning. That's what it's meant for. So the Mela, any teshuva which doesn't take into consideration the simple animal life of Nineveh and take it seriously, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani lo achus, what, I'm not supposed to care about all these animals? You, big shot. So you have it all worked out in your mind. I have a world to take care of, and that's fun. And when I'm busy playing with the Leviathan, you can talk to the Leviathan about one day you're going to bring him up for the circuit, so on and so forth. To me, he's my tennis partner. I don't want to hear from that. I want my tennis partner, essentially. So that's the whole nature of my separations, is that Mesachek in Rav Yasa. It's been there the whole time. It's meant to be there till the end. Then you guys can, you'll make use of my separations in the end. That's the point. Okay, gentlemen, may we be Zocha to visit Neveh Hanun.
Is the restaurant open now?
I have the keys.
It's not open.
It's not open. The restaurant.